You're listening to the AHTB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. Monthly highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the AHTB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. I'm Paul Hill and I'm the Knowledge Exchange Manager for the South East. So first off, what's been happening in the South East? The weather at the moment is dominating the thoughts of farmers, with spring drilling and fertiliser application on everybody's minds. Growth in the crops has generally been slow due to past temperatures. However, with longer daylight hours, plants are moving into construction phases. Generally, with the True Leaf 3 still to emerge, T1 applications are still in waiting and may prove to be a timing challenge, especially if a wet and mild weather pattern develops. If this does become the case, then from leaf 4 stage, everybody will be on the lookout for Septoria in their crops. However, on a positive side, rusts haven't really been a problem due to the past colder conditions. With regard to oilseed rape, light leaf spot is present in southeast crops, and past cold weather has caused some leaf and bud damage. With the continued wet weather, some fields remain waterlogged, which isn't ideal for the plants at this present growth stage. Finally, before we move on, and with the weather in mind, I remember a farmer I once worked for who always took such delight in reminding me that he had once again proved that his weather prediction was right. His weather prediction was very much based on a proverb: if pine cones open up, then dry weather is on its way. So let's move on. Winter appears to be losing its battle with spring at last, and with the increasing temperatures and longer days, we are seeing some winter wheat crops move through their final stages of tillering. Here's Jason Pohl with news on a revamped guide which can be used to assess crop growth over the season.
The AHTB Wheat Growth Guide, which allows crop progress, structure and final performance to be measured and compared against a series of reference points called benchmarks, has been extensively revised. The common sets of UK wheat crop benchmarks used in the guide are based on observations of a high-yielding feed wheat with a slow rate of development across several seasons at UK sites. Many factors influence crop growth, but broadly speaking, crop genetics, natural resources, and husbandry all interact. The guide can be used to work out how important each factor is. Although not an agronomy manual, the Wheat Growth Guide can be used to identify where a management intervention could make a difference. With its last major revision having been in 2008, the update takes account of recent changes in varieties and the growing environment. It also has a fresh new look. The guide now includes information on how much each benchmark is affected by crop genetics, using an index of low, medium and high, and husbandry. This information is critical because variety choice is key where benchmarks are strongly affected by genetics. Where genetics are not so critical, husbandry choices become more important. Other key changes in the updated guide include an infographic to show how wheat grows and forms yield, a section on wheat growth and yield, at-a-glance information on benchmarks during key growth phases and stages, clear information on ways to measure key benchmarks, and improved information on grain quality. The update is part of an ADAS-led project to review growth guides for both wheat and barley. The revised AHTB Barley Growth Guide will be published later in 2018. The guide can be accessed via cereals.ahtb.org.uk/wheatgg.
And if you want to know more about the practical application of the Wheat Growth Guide, look up our Strategic Farm East, hosted by Stowmarket farmer Brian Barker. Next up, we've got the AHTB market analyst Daniel Rooney with the news on the UK supply and demand results and how tight wheat stocks could be stalling exports.
Hello, I'm Daniel, an analyst at AHTB. The second official estimates released in March highlighted the continued tight picture for UK wheat supply and demand. The wheat balance, which is the balance of available suppliers and domestic consumption, rose slightly from the first estimate at the end of November to 2.7 million tonnes. However, this still sits 15% below the balance last season. The balance increase in the second official estimates is mainly due to a 507,000 tonne reduction in human industrial consumption of wheat. This decrease in consumption has more than offset the reduction to the final production figure for the 2017 harvest, now forecast at 14.8 million tonnes. The decrease in human industrial consumption of wheat from November's estimates is due in part to a temporary reduction in UK bioethanol capacity. Total wheat usage by UK millers between July 2017 and January 2018 was down 4.1% compared to the same period the previous season. In January 2018 alone, there was a 7.4% reduction on year-earlier figures. The tight balance of wheat has been reflected in UK trade, with exports in January being the lowest January level since 2013, according to the HMRC. Trade in the first 7 months of the season continues the UK's position from last year as a net importer, with imports already 3 times higher than exports, highlighting the tight balance of UK wheat availability this season. So far between July 2017 and January 2018, the UK exported 306,000 tonnes of wheat, just a quarter of what had been achieved at this stage last year, with Ireland, Netherlands and Spain being the main destinations for UK wheat this season. Interestingly, wheat exports to non-EU destinations have all but dried up this season, with only 2,000 tonnes heading outside the EU, down from 288,000 tonnes during the same period last year. In terms of imports, between July and January this season, the UK has recorded a slight increase in wheat arriving, up 3% to 990,000 tonnes. Wheat imports observed in January 2018 were up 7% from January 2017, and the highest for January since 2013. Imports from Canada, France, Germany and the US have been the main source of UK imports this season, with French imports increasing by 1.5 times from the same period a year earlier. Considering the UK's tighter wheat balance this season, we could expect to see more imports in the coming months. Therefore, to summarise, tight suppliers are supporting UK prices relative to world levels. However, with the UK already an importer of wheat, this limits how far prices can rise relative to the rest of the world. It is likely, therefore, that the price direction for wheat during the rest of the season will be driven by global events. For more information on balance sheets, please visit the AHDB Markets website at cereals.ahdb.org.uk/markets.
Now, this month we've appointed 6 new Monitor Farm hosts, including one here in West Sussex, hosted by Mark Chandler at Moore Farm in Petworth. We've also got our first ever Monitor Farm in Northern Ireland, hosted by Richard Orr in Downpatrick. We'll be hearing more about these new Monitor Farms over the next few months and years. All of the Monitor Farms have open days this summer, and I'd really encourage you to get involved and make the most of the farmer-to-farmer learning. Don't just take my word for it, though. Here's what former Monitor Farm host in the Black Isle, Brian and Caroline Matheson, had to say about the project.
It was a chance to look again at the business and refresh what we were doing, and instead of always just doing what we ever did.
I think the Monitor Farm, the fact that we've been networking and getting ideas from other people, it's opened our eyes.
And we've really made an effort now to up our game.
Find out more about the open days at cereals.ahdb.org.uk/monitorfarms. Next up, we all know that the people working on our farms are one of the most important assets we have. In some of our Monitor Farm meetings and webinars, we've been looking at the qualities of great managers and how to manage staff better.
But the traits of great bosses, they value people over money. I was just on a farm today that was mourning because the member of staff was actually, this particular member of staff was getting 30,000. That was ridiculous. I'm overpaying them. But he worked out his hours and his son was getting £14,000. But he gets treats. What treats does he get? He gets some bags of dog food. You know, but we really do need to value people over money. Because if we have not got a good team working for us, we cannot be as productive. You know, so it's how much should we and must we pay to get the right team and to retain them? We need to create great habits where we frequently are always behaving in a positive way and repetitive way. So timekeeping, manners, cleanliness, tidiness, whatever's relevant to your business. Great bosses have the courage to confront and say no when required. I am shocked at how many clients I get involved with in their businesses who are literally bullied and intimidated by their staff. They are so afraid that if they say the wrong thing that the staff member will leave, that they let go. Shocking behaviour. Shocking timekeeping, shocking standards, and the way some staff speak to their bosses is diabolical, because that is because they've been allowed to. So having the courage to confront really quickly and say, no, that is not acceptable, takes a lot of nerve, but my word, do you soon get respect. They're good communicators. They have the ability to communicate clearly and directly. Who needs to know? What do they need to know? And when do they need to know it? They are motivated and capable. They have that spring in their step, and they are able to do every single job on the farm. They are respected, and they're respectful of everyone within their business. And they are true to their work, and they are capable of leading from the front. They would not ask any of their team to do anything they wouldn't do themselves. And when it comes to the tough, dirty, hard jobs, they're in there with the sleeves rolled up as well.
That was Heather Wildman of Saviour Associates speaking at one of our recent webinars. She's a business consultant who helps farmers develop their entrepreneurial skills. And here's James Cousins, who runs Rawston Farm in partnership with his daughter Georgie and also hosts the Blandford Monitor Farm.
I think we've got a few issues to look at. Perhaps we ought to talk to our staff more, have a more of a two-way relationship perhaps, and try and address some of the issues that we come across in our sort of daily workload. I think we do have morning meetings, and maybe we ought to have them a little bit more open on general topics rather than just discussing what we're going to do for that day. And maybe once a week we'll say we'll open up the discussion a little bit more on where the farm's going, are we moving in the right direction, and any improvements we can make, and perhaps have a more open discussion on what we're doing on the farm. Well, I hope it would sort of give our staff a bit of extra motivation. They might understand a bit more about which direction we're all going in, and hopefully improve the sort of farm productivity and have a sort of happier, more motivated staff.
And finally, there are a number of AHDB events coming up, all designed to help you make the most of your levy, from opportunities to meet the exporter and tour their facilities to marketing and variety open days with the Arable Connection events. Have a look at cereals.ahdb.org.uk/events to find out what's on near you. Well, that's all from us. I'm Paul Hill, and you've been listening to the AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. Tune in again in a month's time for the next episode. However, in the meantime, you could visit our website, cereals.ahdb.org.uk, for more information, or follow us on Twitter at AHDB_cereals.